Pastor Michael E. Ton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly E. Ton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael E. Ton. That's E-A-T-O-N. Maybe listening through our church website at www.HearGod'sWord@Bethlehem.com or a podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other ministries all on the internet. Now, let's get to the Word.
We come tonight, Lord, just wanting to focus our hearts and our minds, Father. But Father, you're truly worthy to be praised on this midweek, Father, and we pray, Lord, that you would inhabit our service, Father. Your Word says where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you're in the midst, Father God, and we're just praying, Father, that you are in the midst, Father, and that your people have come tonight and that they will hear from you, Father, that they may be encouraged in their faith, Father, in Jesus' name, that they may be strengthened in their faith, Father, that as a result of us coming here tonight, Father, that they will be better Christians, Father, and that they may be identified as Christians, those who have spent time with Christ, Father. So, Father, we ask you, Lord, right now in Jesus' name, we pray, Father, you're able to focus our minds, Lord, and focus our hearts, focus our desires to be on you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. And praise the Lord. Amen. And praise the Lord. Again, we are glad that you are here tonight, and we pray that God will speak what he wants to speak, and that we'll have a wonderful time of prayer as we pour our hearts out to him, that we might touch heaven, that healing may flow from this place tonight. Amen? Amen. Well, we know our theme. Our theme for 2012 is to know him, or to make him known, to know Christ and to make him known, because we know him. We want to make him known. And this month, we've been talking about making him known through love. Making him known through love. And we've been talking about the love of God, which is God's love is unconditional, unlimited, and complete. How much did God love you? He loved you this much, where he stretched his arms across the cross and he died for you. He loves you this much, and his love is meant to be shared with the rest of the world. We have to take this love to go stand and speak about him. Oh, because he loved us so much, we can't be silent. Because he loves us so much, we want to let the world know about his love. Amen. Amen. And this month we've been talking about love, the principles of love. This last Sunday we talked about the principles of love, but tonight we're going to talk about the conduit in which we're the major way into which love is meant to be expressed here on earth, the way God set it up. And we're going to talk about the institute of marriage, And whenever you want to know in the beginning of things, you always start in Genesis. Genesis is the beginning of everything. If you want to know the beginning of man, you go back to Genesis. The beginning of marriage, you go back to Genesis. The beginning of the earth, beginning of all things began in Genesis. So we're going to look at tonight Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 25. Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 25, in a message entitled The Institution of Marriage. Let's read this out loud together on three. It's in your handouts as well as on the screen. One, two, three. The Lord. Again, we're talking about tonight the Institute of Marriage, and we're going to talk on around 3 points as the Holy Spirit gives us utterance. We're going to talk about the man alone, the marriage alone, and the what? Amen. The marriage alone. And we want God to know, or want you to know, that God instituted marriage to make him known. God instituted marriage to make him known. And again, we're talking about the Institute of Marriage. I bet if you was to tell our grandmothers and grandfathers that we would be in the state that we're in today, they probably couldn't believe the state. Basically, the state of marriage. We live in a culture and a time where marriage seems to be unnatural. There was a time where young folk, when they grew up, they desired to be married. And it was just a natural progression of things that you grew up and you got married and you had a family. That a natural progression of things. But as I told you Sunday, and statistics tells us in some parts of our community that 70% of our households have a single is led by a single woman. A single woman. And as I alluded to Sunday, I alluded to and I let you know that many of those households have children. At one time there was a man somewhere, but now our culture seems to be against marriage. And some of it is not just against marriage, it's just that they haven't been taught about marriage. They haven't seen marriage. They are a reflection of how they grew up. And we have this first generation of children who don't even know what a marriage looks like. And then there are other countless couples who are not officially married, but they are committed in long-term relationships, but they are not married. The Institute of Marriage, as I said Sunday, is the thing that God created to protect women and children. The institution of marriage is the thing that God wants so that every woman knows what it's like to feel his love, so that every child knows what it's like to feel his love through the man. And we're talking about marriage in the context of making him known. It's known, and I share this with my brother's keepers all the time, that If a man comes to Christ, there's a 93% chance that his whole household will be won to Christ. And that's why I believe that the devil doesn't want men in family. Oh, because if a man makes up his mind, he makes up his mind for the whole household. But most of our households don't have a man in it. And as a result, you have a woman that doesn't know the love of God, and you have old children that don't know the love of God. What kind of love is that? That kind of love is a sacrificial love. That kind of love is the kind of love that guards, the kind of love that guides, the kind of love that does what it can for his wife, that does what it can for his children. It is a decision of the will that as a man, his best built to express and to model the love of Christ. We're going to talk about the roles in marriage this coming Sunday. And the roles in marriage, God tells that man, and you've heard me many times before, to love his wife as Christ loved the church. And if a man is to love his wife as Christ loved the church, that means he's got to give himself up, for he has to be willing to die, even as Christ died for the church. But Christ didn't stay dead. Christ had enough power to be raised again from the dead. And that's the model of the kind of love that a man is supposed to bring to this marriage. It's the kind of love that story should be written about. It's the kind of love that movies should be written on and made about. It's the kind of love that God has for mankind. And God has placed this, once again, this institution called marriage. And he's made a man to be committed, a man to represent who he is, a man to be a model of who he is, so that he can take into this institution of marriage true love, not the emotional kind of love, not the kind of love that many expressed yesterday. It was an emotional kind of love. And it wasn't like a decision of the will to say, that I'm going to be committed to you for the rest of my life. I'm going to love you regardless, through the good and the bad. And that's what marriage says. When you make and take that marriage covenant, it's in sickness and in health, richer or for poor, until death does us part. And that man is supposed to be the aggressor of that. He's the one that's supposed to be the pursuer in that. In marriage, he's the one that's supposed to set it all off, in Jesus' name. But marriage was made by God. It's a divine institute. It's not a institution that should be entered into lightly. It's not an institution for children, because children cannot live up to the vows of marriage. A child or somebody who's immature, when things get bad, they're going to want to run away. They're going to want to throw in the towel. And we have many marriages and people that end easily. No fault divorces. But if it doesn't work for the Christian, there should be a fault to it. Hello, somebody. It means that you should have done all that you can to make it work. But I understand there are people that are listening in marriage relationships and that person has cheated. You know, God does give an option for divorce, but he doesn't give a command to divorce. And if your husband is cheating and running around, God is not expecting you, to put yourself, nor your children, in life and in harm's way. Because our culture, also another thing that is rampant in our culture, is AIDS. You see, a man may not no longer be able to run around. Somebody say, you lie down with a dog and you'll get ticks. Hello, somebody. Well, they're ticking, and that tick is a ticking time bombed where folk have literally have died because they've been committed to people who were not committed to them and had no God in them. So we're not talking about that. We're talking about the idea of marriage. And the ideal of marriage is one man, one woman for a lifetime being committed, coming before the church, coming before family, coming before everybody and saying, this is our decision as two grown adults, two people being able to do what God says to do in marriage. This is what we decided to do before God and before man. He said, we are going to be committed. Hello, somebody. Many times we talk in romantic terms, as I alluded to Sunday, where the guy talking about he'll step in front of a grenade for come in front of a train. No, we're talking about not dying most of the time. We're talking about living for one another, being committed so much so that we're going to live for one another. We're not going to allow anybody or anything to come between our love for one another. Say to your neighbor.
Neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
After hearing all that,
are
you ready for marriage? Some of you have already done it. You've already put in your years, 30, 40, 50 years, but you've decided to, and some may be even challenging whether they should continue to go on even after all of these years. But God is saying that regardless of the time that you put in, you haven't put in the time till death yet. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. And that's where you need to go to and with this thing. Hello, somebody. Talking about the institution of marriage. And again, it began with God. God did it. God formed it. And we're going to look at some of the principles of marriage tonight. First of all, the first point we're going to talk about is a man alone. A man alone. This text is the genesis of everything. It says, the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. First of all, we see that God said it and not man. God said, it's not good for a man to be alone. Hello, somebody. What does that mean? That means that that's not the ideal state for man. Now, he or she can exist alone, but the ideal state for a man is that he be with a helper. Hello, somebody. Some of you women have figured it out that a man needs help. Hello, somebody. Statistics tells us that men live longer, are more healthier when they get married. Hello, somebody. Why is that? It's because they have a helper there. When they're married, they have a helper there, and that helper helps him to make it through life. That helper is companionship for him. Hello, somebody. And that's why some men can't be alone. They don't like to be alone. Because they're used to companionship. That's why couples, and they can be married a long, long time. And you notice that, after one dies, the other will die because they're so used to companionship. And God says that it's not good for man to be alone. It's not his ideal state. He can exist alone. Man is like my phone. My phone is a 4G phone. Okay? The only problem with it being a 4G phone is that we don't have 4G here in Paul's Valley.
so it doesn't run to the best of its ability until I take a trip. Like when I go to Nashville, I get my 4G level and the phone is able to do what it's supposed to do, and it operates on different levels because it is in a place where it can reach that level of 4G. And Dallas has it. Not even Oklahoma City has 4G, which is sad. They should have 4G, but anyway. But in other words, the phone is here and the phone works, but it's not working to the fullest of its capacity. And that's what the Bible means. When a man is alone, it's not good for man to be alone. He will not reach his fullest potential, his fullest capacity, by himself. He needs someone that he calls, that the Bible calls, a helper. Hello, somebody. Say to your neighbor, neighbor! Oh, neighbor! I need some help up in here. And help. It says it's not good for, he said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. I will make him a helper suitable for him. He had seen all these different animals, and he was brilliant enough to name an animal after its characteristics. He saw snakes littering around. He said, that looks like a snake. And his name fits him. He was an intelligent man. He saw a hippopotamus and said, that looks like a hippopotamus. I don't know where he got it from, but the name fits. He looked at a bird and said, that looks like a bird, and the name fits birds. But one thing, as he was naming all the animals, he could not find, he did not see a helpmate suitable for him. Hello, somebody. And that's why sometimes God have you alone in this life. Sometimes God has you alone for you to recognize that you need some help. Sometimes he'll leave you by yourself. Sometimes and prepare you for what he wants to give you, and sometimes he leaves us alone so that we can begin to recognize, I need some help up in here. Hello, somebody. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but when he saw that woman, he named her, and the name fit. He looked at her and he said, whoa, man. Good-gugga-mugga. Whoa. Hello. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. Oh, gosh. Left him alone and gave him a job. And that's why I say that if a man doesn't have a job, he's not ready for marriage. Because a man has to be a provider. A man has to be somebody that's going to take care of the bills. Even if he have a job and won't put his money on the bills, he's not a man. Because God wants that man to be the one who is the primary provider. He gives him a job, and he wants him to be excellent at his job so that he can provide for his wife, so he can provide for his kids. Left him alone so he could become prolific in his career, and what he did lives on today because he was a prolific man. And if you're looking, and if you're a woman and you want a husband, you better pray for somebody that's prolific. You better pray for somebody that has a job, because if he doesn't have a job or hasn't determined a good work history, he may not be ready for marriage. Because the number one reason most marriages end in divorce, it has to deal with what? Money. Hello, somebody. Money issues. Hello, somebody. Number one thing that a woman wants out of marriage is she wants what? Security. Hello, somebody. And that's why you got to make sure, if you're a woman, you got to make sure that man is a hard worker. You better make sure that he has a job, that he's willing to work. And not only that, but that he he's willing to do what he's supposed to do as a man, which is to be a provider. We call on God, and we call him Jehovah Jireh, our God who provides. And a man is placed in marriage to be an image, a model of who God is, and everything that's needed in that house, God should be able to provide for that household through that man. Hello, somebody to take care of the bills. Hello, somebody. That's why boys are not ready for marriage, because if you marry a boy, he'll take the bill money and buy some rims. If you marry a boy, he'll take the bill money and be at the casino. If you marry a boy, he'll take the bill money and he'll be at the strip joint giving all those hoochie mamas your bill money. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Oh, you got to go up there and collect and say, honey, go up in that strip joint, say, honey, that's my bill. Give me that money. But, oh, no, no, don't do that. Don't do that. But this man had a job. Oh, that's the first thing that God gave him so that he could provide for his family. Oh, and actually got the job. Oh, and God told him, he got to see that it was not good for him to be alone. God would have to give him a helpmate. And again, for you men, don't marry somebody that can't help you. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. For some of you married men, it's too late. Hello, somebody. But you need to be with a woman that builds you up, not tears you down. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. We're going to see the roles in our relationship Sunday. Oh, the woman is supposed to respect the man, which is to follow his lead and reverence him. In the same way, she's supposed to reverence God. She's supposed to reverence that man. And a woman that reverences her man and will not tear him down, will not nag him to death. Nag, 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 nag. Hey, hello, somebody. You need a woman that's going to help you, not tear you down, not break you down, not talk about you like you're everything, but a man of God. You better make sure that this woman can help you. Hello, somebody. Oh, you sing a brother start to say, Lord, send me some help. Send me some help. And you married brothers, you need to pray, Lord, make her some help. Hello, somebody. She's supposed to build you up, picture. You're supposed to be some help. And she's supposed to be a helpmate suitable to you. That word suitable means literally like one of these days I'm going to be able to afford a tailor-made suit. A tailor-made suit is different than a suit that you buy from the rack. A tailor-made suit, you've got to go and you've got to, I've been measured for a tailor-made suit. I haven't bought one yet. But what they do is they come in and they measure your body and they measure you from top to bottom and they make this suit based on your measurements. And the suit is tailor-made and it fits you and only you. Nobody else can pick up a suit that is tailor-made for you and wear it. And that's what a woman is supposed to be to a man. She's supposed to be a tailor-made for you. Where you're weak, she should be strong. Hello, somebody. And you've got to be willing to accept your help. Oh, some of you women better let your men know that you've been sent to help him, because he's been out bouncing checks all over town because he can't do the money. He's not good with money. And God has sent him some tailor-made help. He sent him a wife that's an accountant, and if she's better with the money, guess what? She should be doing the money. Oh, you've been told. They told you a lot. The old brothers, they told you, I run my house because I take care of the money. Hello, somebody. No, 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 no. any job. Very rarely will you see, if it's a big company, very rarely will you see the owner of the company writing the checks. The owner of the company pays somebody to take care of his business. You see, when you really have some power, when you really have some authority, you can have somebody else do. You can pay somebody else to do for you what needs to be done. It's not an issue of who handles it. It's an issue of who owns the company. Hello, somebody. And men, God has put you over the top, and that don't mean that you need to be doing stuff that you're not good at. He sent you this woman, and she's a helpmate suitable too, and you should let her do her strengths, especially if you are weak in them. Hello, somebody. She's a helpmate suitable for you. Hello, somebody. So I'm glad God sent me to Sister Eton. Sister Eton's real good with money. Hello, somebody. Even better than I am. Hello, somebody. And I looked at that before I got married, because I wasn't going to marry a woman that wasted money. One of the things that impressed me the most about Sister Eton was that I looked at her key ring, and on her key ring, guess what she had? On her key ring, she had all these different places with discount little cards. She had on her key ring Kroger's discount cards and all kinds of cards like that. And I said, now that's somebody that's good with money, because they know how to save it. And she was even better than I am with it. And guess what? So she handles them. Sometimes I've seen that woman go to the store and get a whole lot of stuff and pay $5 for it. Because she done turned in all kind of coupons and all that. She can beat me in that. And she's good at it. She's a helpmate suitable for me in that area. That's her strength. So I let her do her strength. She was sent to help me. Hello, somebody. Some brothers listening, at the sound of my voice, you're having a bad marriage, and your marriage is about to end because you haven't accepted the helpmate suitable that God gave you. Let me say that again. He's giving you a helpmate suitable, but you are not accepting the help that God has given you. You think you should be over and do everything. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Hello, somebody. You can't do it. There's been some brothers I've been trying to talk out of it. Bouncing bills everywhere. Hello, somebody. Getting paycheck loans. Hello, somebody. And they're bad with money. And the wife has said, it's an accountant. Hello, somebody. A helpmate suitable. She should be tailor-made for you. Where you're weak, she should be strong. Hello, somebody. And the major thing that she's to help you with is, of course, is the children. Hello, somebody. Children need a man. But they generally need a man when they get older. From those younger stages, they need their mama. Hello, somebody. They need their mama. When they get around 12, that's when the man needs to really influence a lot more. But she's a helpmate suitable for that. Hello, somebody. Nobody, I don't care how people try to redefine marriage. The key to marriage is the fruit of marriage is being able to have children or to be a mother. Hello, somebody. A woman may not be able to have children, but she knows how to mother because God made her a woman, and every woman knows how to mother. Hello, somebody. Oh, and that's why she's trying to mother you if you let her. Help make suitable. So God says it's not good for man to be alone, and the world tries to define that, and they say it's not good for man to be alone. Oh, but they don't want to marry him, but I'll just live with her. Hello, somebody. Preacher, what's the difference between marriage and living with somebody? I tell you, the difference is a commitment. That's what's the difference. Hello, somebody. And not only that, not only a commitment, but if you were to die and you never married that woman, your family can come in and take everything that you had for your living girlfriend and children. Come in and take everything away. You can't say nothing about it. Hello, somebody. Because you didn't recognize her. People will treat her crazy, too. Because you didn't recognize, you didn't commit to her, so nobody else is committing to her. Your family won't commit to her. The folk around her won't commit to her. Oh, and they'll treat her like a stepchild because you decided not to marry her. Hello, somebody. And it's sad to see when that happens. A woman gives 20, 30, 40 years, 40 of the best years of her life to a man, and she's never recognized. Hello, somebody. That's the difference. And that's why God doesn't want you just to shack or live together. Because this woman would be under a curse. Especially if something happens to you. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Your children. I was looking at a movie called, entitled The Courage to Love. And it was talking about around the turn of the century, the 19th century, European men were particularly intrigued by Creole women and the mixed-race women. And the European men would come and they would get a Creole woman, and they would never marry them, but they would have children with them. And in this particular movie, this woman had two children with this man, but they never married. But this man decided to one day to get married to have a legitimate heir. Hello, somebody. You are a woman that had two of his kids, and you are looked at as, and they are looked at as illegitimate. Hello, somebody. Hello, because you didn't commit. Because you've accepted that. You've accepted a part-time love. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Because you decided to be what that song used to sing about, a secret lover. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. He never recognized you before the public, and something happens to him, and you have nothing because you had no commitment. Hello, somebody. Women have sold them. In that movie, let me know that women have sold themselves short for years. But in that movie, this woman saw that it was wrong, and she wouldn't accept nothing but a commitment. Hello, somebody. And there's some women that, since they sound my voice, you need to know that you are a child of the King, and you deserve commitment. You don't deserve a part-time man. You don't deserve a part-time. You don't deserve a part-time daddy to your kids. Oh, you are a child of the living God, and you deserve everything that God says that you can have, but you've got to do it God's way. Stop compromising. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, stop compromising. Hello, in Jesus' name. Because a man knows it's not good for him to be alone, and he will take a shortcut, an end run, if you would. He knows he doesn't want to be alone. Well, if he don't want to be alone, he needs to be willing to make a commitment. Hello, somebody. He must be willing to marry. Hello, somebody. Say to your neighbor, neighbor. Neighbor. Oh, neighbor. I ain't going to mellow you. But you know what you need to do. You know what you need to do. For the Bible says it's not good for a man to be alone. I know our culture and our society is set up. Oh, some women don't want to marry, not just because they're compromising, but because they have the government taking care of them, and they want to, and that's why a man is not listed in the household. I dare say there may be some listed in that 70% that say that there's no man in it. There may be a man around, he's just not on paper. Hello, somebody, because she wants the government to take care of her. Hello, somebody. I realize that there are other dynamics, but all I can tell you is what God's word said. God's word says it's not good for man to be alone. He instituted marriage for that. I know that older people don't like to get married because they don't want to cut their money and their social security in other ways. Oh, but I know that it couldn't be a challenge, but I know that God is able, if you're willing to do it his way, I know that he can open up the windows and pour out blessings that you won't have room enough to receive. And for some of you, this is the last step you need to take in your spiritual growth, where God can come into your life and show up and show out and let you know that he really is God. Stop looking at the circumstances and look at God. God created this thing, and what he created, he called good. Hello, somebody. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, poor neighbor, it's the right thing to do. So get married. Because the Bible says, talks about a man alone. It's not good for man to be alone. God says, I'm going to make him a helper suitable for him. Proverbs 18:22 says, he who finds a wife finds what is what? Good. And receives what? Favor from God. You see, that's what that woman should be to you. And some of you have been around, and some of you may be in a marriage where you see that man and he adores her because she respects and reverence him, and he calls her favor. She's favor from God. Boy, do you know what that is? Favor from... Now, we all want favor. All of us, at the sound of my voice here in the sanctuary and through MP3 files over the internet, we all want favor. As a matter of fact, our culture, that's all we talk about is favor. Oh, we have songs talking about God favors me. Oh, and we have all kinds of songs talking about the favor of God. Oh, but God favor those who do things his way. God favor those who obey him, and those men who's willing to stand on the word of God and choose a wife that can be a helper to him. Again, I said a wife that can be helpful to him, not somebody that's going to tear you down, tear you up, put you in bankruptcy. Somebody that's going to have you on the side of the road like a crack addict going, oh, I can't live without her. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a helpmate suitable. Oh, a woman that builds into you. A woman that wants the best for you. A woman that can pray for you. A woman that can raise your children in a godly way. That kind of woman is favor from God himself. Hello, somebody. Let me say that again. That kind of woman is favor from God himself. Hello, somebody. Somebody's listening to the sound of my voice. You want favor. You do things God's way, and you will receive favor. He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. We all want favor. Hello, somebody. You get favor by being obedient to God. I preach a message entitled, There's a Blessing in Obedience. And if you want to receive a blessing, some of you better think about being married, being remarried. Hello, somebody. He said, preacher, but I made the wrong decision the first time. And you know what? You're right. You did make the wrong decision. How about making a right one? Hello, somebody. Because the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. And you went out and you thought your love would change them. You thought your love would save them. Hello, somebody. You know they had issues. You saw they had a tick. You know they was... You thought your love could heal that tick. Marriage doesn't have any municipal abilities. In marriage, it won't heal you if you're sick. But you marry somebody with a mental disease. I'm talking about literally mental. The Catholic Church won't even marry somebody with mental issues because they're not grown enough to be married. Hello, somebody. Marriage is for grown folk. Hello, somebody. Mature folk. Hello, somebody. Who can apply love. Love is what? Love is kind. Love doesn't act unseemingly. Hello, somebody. Love ain't going to be out here. If you have true love, you ain't going to be at the church arguing with your wife. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. It's not going to act unbecomingly because true love doesn't act that way. True love is not rude. It's not going to act that way. That's why you've got to make sure that this person has godly character, because if you're unequally yoked together with, if you're equally yoked together with a believer, it won't work. Hello, somebody. How much you pray. Very few marriages can be used to help save somebody. And in those marriages, they have one mate that's completely sold out. And they're living up, particularly women, they're living up to this text. It's that they love and reverence that man so much that man want to have what she has. Hello, somebody. But she ain't going to be arguing and fussing and fighting and all of that. She's going to have a quiet spirit. And she's going to know how to pray. Hello, somebody. But you don't get yourself into that. If you just happen to be in it, then you've got to apply God's word to it. Hello, somebody. And maybe that person will be saved. Some of you may be sitting here today having that testimony because my wife loved me so much. I'm here today. Hello, somebody. But whoever and whatever kind of marriage that you're in, even if it's a bad marriage, you've got to apply godly and biblical principles so that God can find favor with you, because there's a blessing in obedience. Hello, somebody. And then we come to point number two, a marriage alone. Marriage alone. The text says that this is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. See, marriage, another thing about marriage is it's meant to be alone. You say, preacher, what do you mean by meant to be alone? It's meant to be its own cell, its own cluster. In other words, nobody else should be in your business when you get married. You say, preacher, what do you mean? What do you mean? Some of you may have had this happen. Maybe through dating. Or you may have had the horrors of marrying a mama's boy. Hello, somebody. And you have a grown man that's married, but his mama is all in his business. His mama is telling him what to do. I saw on Dr. Phil the other day, there was a woman on there, and she didn't like her son's wife, and that woman was meddling in their business. That woman, and for her, really, she kind of had a right to meddle in their business because they were living in her household. He was working for her. Hello, somebody. And that woman hated her so much, she put him out on ChristianMingle.com trying to find him somebody else, and he married to a woman. No. See, marriage is meant to be alone. The text says you got to leave your father and mother. If you, I can mess up a lot of people with this. If you're not financially able enough to get away from your mama and daddy, you probably don't need to get married. Woo-wee. Hello, somebody. One of the things in the culture of this culture and time, you used to have to pay a dowry to get married, which would show that you had the ability to provide for your wife. Hello, somebody. And folk don't need to get married if you still living under your mama's roof. Hello, somebody. You probably shouldn't get married. Hello, somebody. I said, you probably shouldn't get married. Now let me be fair. Because there's some grown, responsible kids who have come back home to take care of mama and daddy. That's different. But I'm talking about somebody that's irresponsible. Don't have a job and living in the basement. Living off of mama and daddy. Hello, somebody. Talking about, I want to get married. Oh, no. You ain't ready for marriage. I tell a woman, no. That's a red flag. Hello. He can't even take care of himself. How's he gonna take care of you and your children? Hello, somebody. Remember, most of the time, children are added to the mix. And if you got an irresponsible man, your marriage would be hard to make it. Hello, somebody. But it says you've got to leave father and mother. Father and mother. You see, my mama don't know nothing about my marriage. Hello, somebody. Some of y'all mess up, and you're telling them your marriage business. Hello, somebody. Your mom and dad don't need to know nothing about your marriage business because some of them are not responsible enough to handle your business. Hello, somebody. In other words, you tell them all the bad stuff that this man has done, and you forgive them, and then they come around the family and they're looking at him cross-eyed. Because you done talked him down so much. You tell them all your business. Hello, somebody. And they're talking your business all throughout the family, and nobody like him, but you love him. They wonder why nobody don't like him. Nobody don't like him. I love him. But if you love him, don't talk his business. If you love her, don't talk. Not to your mama anyway. We all need somebody to talk to, but not, no. See, grown folk know how to compartmentalize stuff. See, a child tells his mom and daddy everything. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. No, you can't tell your mom and daddy. They can't handle it. Hello, somebody. Somebody wrote an article yesterday, and I had a hard time with this issue. They said, since Rihanna has forgiven Chris Brown, why don't you? If you don't know the story, Chris Brown is a famous singer. And you know, and I know I'm a preacher. I'm not supposed to talk folk down. But they got into an altercation, and the picture was released, and that altercation left her severely abused, okay. Severely abused, and the pictures were all got all out, and then they started. We was all appalled as a nation, but then they started to go out with each other again. And anybody with any good sense would probably have problems with that. You see, and I'll answer it this way. If Rihanna was my daughter, I don't care if it was 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20 years later, I wouldn't want him nowhere near her. Hello, somebody. And it probably shows that she doesn't have a father in her life. Because, you know, I know I'm a reverend and everything, but if anything like that happened, you better pray for me. You better pray for me. Because I'll be wanting to lay hands. And I'm not talking about praying. That's why I need you to pray. But their business got put out, and I can't handle it. No. You got to keep your business private. Hello, somebody. And if something like that happens, you need to be gone. Don't lie on God and say, God told me to forgive it. God ain't told you to be no punching bag. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. God gave you some good sense. Why don't you use it? Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. But the concept we're talking about is a marriage is meant to be alone. Don't talk your bit. Don't you leave father and mother, grandmother and all them. You leave them behind and you start this union. You can't be married to your wife and closer to your mama. That's got to be saved. No, No. God don't put mama's boys in marriage. Hello, somebody. Say one couple got married and the wife was so upset cause his mama came over their house every morning and cooked him breakfast. No. Bible says to leave and cleave. You gotta leave father and mother, and even if you can't cook, she don't need to be there in the morning cooking for him. Like he's a baby. He said, I'll take him to McDonald's. And that's the principle of marriage alone. You've got to keep folk out of your business. Marriage is meant to be alone, a cell group. Oh, you got to leave father and mother, and you've got to be united to his wife. Unity, a oneness. Hello, somebody. Nobody before wife or husband. Not friends. That's why some marriages can't work. Because you marry folk, but you got folk closer to you than your husband. Now, that shouldn't be happening. Than your wife. That shouldn't be happening. No. You got to become united as one group, one. And in marriage, and most folk who've been married a long time, they'll tell you the most important thing in marriage. What is the most important thing in marriage? Most say communication. Now, how is it that you're building your marriage when you talk to your best friend more than you talk to your husband? Hello, somebody. When you talk to your mama and daddy more than you talk to your husband. Ooh, let me really meddle. When you talk to your kids more than you talk to your husband. Yeah, I'm on metal. Because some women, they lose it when they have a baby. Hello, somebody. They lose it. No. That baby is going to go up 18 years. It's going to be gone. And he's going to be there saying, and what? Who you going to talk to now? Some people treat their kids like their best friend. Like your kids shouldn't be your best friend. Hello, somebody. God called you to be a parent. Hello, somebody. And you can't be your child's best friend. You shouldn't be dressing like your child. Hello, somebody. You see folk like that. You're supposed to leave and cleave, and you got to be with your mate. You should be one with your mate. If you dress like somebody, at least match your colors and your mate. Hello, somebody. Some people treat their kids as if they're their best friends. Some people put more weight on the children than they do on the relationship itself. And many marriages end after children grow up and go on, and they find out that they have nothing in common. Hello, somebody. Why you don't have nothing in common? You got married, you had something in common then. What happened? What happened was you start putting those kids first. No. Kids don't come first. It's you two. It's that couple. It's that unit. It's husband and wife together against the world. Amen. Hello, somebody. Nobody should come between that bond. Nobody. Not kids, not your mama, not your daddy, not nobody. And that's why a lot of marriages don't fail, because you got your daddy in you got your mama, you got your grandmama in your business. You got everybody's in your business because you're not grown. Grown folk know how to get folk out their business. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Grown folk know how to do that. A child letting anybody in their business. Hello, somebody. But marriage is meant to be alone. Two people against the world. And maybe God wants to tune up some marriages. Oh, and just because you've been together a long time, oh, it still can fail. Hello, somebody. And those are the ones that I hate the most that fails, those that's been together 30 years. You say, oh, we've grown apart. Hello, somebody. I remember Vice President Al Gore and his wife in marriage. He was married a long time, and all of a sudden, you've been together so long. What happened? You're going apart. Stop it. Hello, somebody in here, married couple, and you feel like you're going apart. Oh, if you're going apart, stop it. Get that, whatever it is, out of your business. Get that best friend. Oh, and a lot of men mess up this way too, because they get married and they still want to hang out with the boys. Hello, somebody. Married men don't have time to hang out with the boys. Hello, somebody. I can't hang out with my homies. I'm a married man. Hello, somebody. They ain't got a woman. That's why. Because they hanging out with the boys. Some of you better recognize because, oh, those boys you hanging out with may be on the down low. That's why they hanging together so much. You coming around. No, it's you against the world. Marriage alone. Anything that's in between you, whatever it is, work, school, children, friends, oh, you've got to leave and cling to one another. It's you against the world. Hello, somebody. Matthew reiterates this in Matthew 19:5. He says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be united to his wife. United to his wife. United to his wife. Hello, somebody. To be married, you have to have a made-up mind. Hello, somebody. And lastly, at least I keep you too long. Diminish alone. This is why a man leaves his father and mother and are united to his wife. And they become one flesh, and through that one flesh, that word means family, or to procreate. That's what happened in marriages. Is you get married and it starts out with you. One plus one equals three. Hello, somebody. That's God's math. One plus one equals three. Hello, somebody. You have children. That's family. That's family. It's God's plan. It's the way it was meant to be. You weren't supposed to have children first and then, hello, somebody. You weren't supposed to live with somebody first and then, some of us listen to the sound of my voice, you're out of order. That's why things can't be as good as God wants it to be, because you're out of order. You didn't do it right. But the good thing about God is that at any time when you decide to do right, you can get in order. Hello, somebody. The good thing about God and his word is that there's always time to repent. There's always time to change your mind. There's always time to turn and run in the opposite direction. This is how family is supposed to be. And this one flesh means sexuality, expressing your sexuality in marriage. And we're out of order in our culture because, oh, little girls are giving their bodies away and not married. Boys are going around sleeping with as many women as they can. They're out of order. Marriage was meant for the sexual relationship, to bond a couple together with that unity. The problem is, when a lot of folk get married, is that I've slept with so many different people that they come to their marriage with all these different personality. Some people call it soul ties. And they come together and try to unite with one another, but they have so many soul ties that they can't stay together because Johnny used to do it this way. And hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. God meant it for one woman, one man, for a lifetime. Hello, somebody. I said, preacher, I done already messed up. I done already messed up, but that's good. You can turn. You can say right now as a single person that I'm going to live holy unto the Lord. I didn't know before, but I know now. And one thing it is, it's dangerous to be taught. Because God is not going to hold you accountable for what you don't know. Hello, somebody. But you're being taught tonight. And you were taught tonight that marriage is the only institution that was made for the sexual union. So if you're single at the sound of my voice and having sex outside of marriage, you are out of order. Hello, somebody. You are in sin. You are in sin. Hello, somebody. Somebody wrote this book. Now, I never opened it up. I don't know what it said on the inside. I just read the cover. It may be different on the inside, but the cover read, single, save, and having sex. I'm like, no, you ain't single and save and having sex. No, you're not. And bragging about it. Hello, somebody. That's out and out total rebellion against God. God's going to deal with you. At the very least, you should be struggling with it within your own self and not trying to tell everybody else and repent it every time you fall. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. But God made marriage for the sexual union. And we've gotten it out of order. That's why so many of our marriages have failed, because we're doing it opposite the way God has told us to do it. But again, the good thing is you learn right now. So what you can do is you can run, turn, and run the other way. Hello, somebody. In this text, in 1 Corinthians, they was having the same kind of issue, but a little different. It wasn't that they were just having sex outside of marriage, but they were having sex in the context of worship. Hello, somebody. And whenever I teach on this, I said, boy, at that church, they didn't have no problem with men coming to church then, did they? Paul was writing against this. Goddess of love was set up in this city. We just had Valentine's yesterday. The goddess of love and a part of their worship was that they had temple prostitutes. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. See, it's hard to get a man to come to church, but I bet they had every man in town in that church. The church of the Hoochie Mama. Some of y'all listen at the sound of my voice, and you're pastors, and you have a house full. Sometimes you may be women, they need to wonder why you got a house full. You probably got a house full because the women in your church is, let me leave that alone. Let me leave that alone. You think about that on the way home. Somebody. But 1 Corinthians 6:16 says, after Paul heard about this practice, it's a folk that was in the church and they wanted to be duly aligned. Hello, somebody. And they wanted to be a part of this kind of worship of Aphrodite, the goddess of love. And they wanted to be a part of the body of Christ. And Paul had to talk to this church and rebuke them and let them know. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? Hello, somebody. For it is said the two will become one flesh. Don't you know what's going on? You can't do that as a Christian. You can't do that. Your body was meant for the marriage relationship, as we've learned before. The two shall become one flesh. That's marriage. But they were in church sleeping with prostitutes at this temple. And prostitutes, no. This relationship is only meant for marriage. But there's some folk at the sound of my voice who have been worshiping. Oh, you haven't been going to that old temple where the goddess of Aphrodite, the goddess of love, but you've been worshiping in your own home, in your own living room. You've been worshiping that God and having sex outside of marriage, and you've been worshiping thinking that that's the way you can get a man, you can keep a man, but it hasn't worked up to this point. What makes you think it will work? I know they say, when you say you decide to live holy and you think you got to sleep with him to get him. Oh, but that's not from God. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Oh, you don't have to sleep with nobody to get them, especially if you want somebody from God. Somebody from God will be trying to live holy like you're trying to live holy. And I always like to let real Christian couples know that if you're trying to live holy, if you're going to be a helpmate suitable to you, you won't be weak at the same time. God will always have it to where at least one of you have some knowing you because you're trying to live holy. Oh, but women have been lied to. And they've been told that they gotta sleep with a man to get him. Hello, somebody. It's life in a pit of hell. Especially if you want God to be at work in your life, in your relationships, and to build this thing. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Hello, somebody. God says you need to save sex for marriage. Stop worshiping there. Hello, somebody. Get your life right. Get your life in order. God wants to bless you with love. Let me say that again. God wants you to bless you with the love that you seek, but you've got to do it God's way. I said Sunday that everybody, young folks say everybody, wants love. Hello, somebody. Everybody wants love. Everybody wants love. If you want God to give it to you, you've got to do it His way. Sister Etan and I, when we dated, we were sexually pure until marriage. Sexually pure until marriage. I got hot and heated a few times, and I almost had to kick her to the curb. She'll tell another story. She always had to kick me to the curb. It doesn't matter who tells the story. But the thing that God did for me is I was away. There was no prospects for me, but I was living for God. I was being holy, trying to live right. And God did an awesome thing. He literally sent me a wife. Living in a different city. Sent me a wife. And that's why when I preach and talk to singles, you can't tell me what God can't do, but you've got to live holy. You've been trying to do it your way and been compromising, and you haven't gotten the love that you seek because you've been compromising. But if you want God in your love life, you've got to do it His way. I said, if you want God in you, if you want God to provide you a husband, hello, somebody. Find your mate. I know the numbers. They tell you the numbers. I think it was on the Time magazine at one time. They say for single women, it's more likely to get struck by lightning than being able to get married. Hello, somebody. All I can tell you is what God did for me, what God did for Sister Etan. But you've got to be holy. You've got to live. That's the only way you get Him moving the earth to come see about you. Hello, somebody. But you know, He did create the earth. And if you have His favor, He can move the earth to come see about you. He's the same God that still can make a way out of no way. You may be alone and feel like, you're like the children of Israel. Oh, looking out over the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army is coming behind you, and you're cornered by the mountains. But I still serve a God who has the power to make a way out of no way. But you've got to do it his way. Hello, somebody. He can bless you. He can bless you with a mate, or he can bless your marriage to be even more fruitful, even more loving. Don't give up on God. Try it his way. I said, don't give up on God in your marriage. Try it his way. Instead of looking at that person, look at that word and see what it says that I'm supposed to do, and apply it. And I can guarantee you, you have a money-back guarantee that God will come see about you. Either he'll change your marriage relationship, or he might just deliver you from it. Oh, but he can do it because he is God. Man. Hello, somebody. This is what the Marriage Institute is. We've got to do it his way, man, to be blessed by him. We all want love, and God's got it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Shall we pray? Father God, I come tonight, Lord, just wanting to thank you and praise you, Father, for your word. And I pray, Lord, that as a result of this teaching, Father, that you would get our house in order, Father. As a church, Lord, we want to make you known, Father, and we make you known by the lives that we live, Father, and we're praying, Lord, that you would enable us to straighten up and to straighten out, to get right in areas where we've been compromising, that, Father, that we might glorify you, and that more folk may come to know you, Father. So, Father, we come tonight praying for everyone at the sound of my voice. I pray, Lord, that they may experience the love that they seek, Father. Whether it's a love between a man and a woman, or maybe just a love between a man and his God. Because there may be someone at the sound of my voice that has the gift of singleness. And they want to spend the rest of their lives, Lord, being fully committed to you, Father. Maybe they were married at one time and enjoyed it. But now they just want to spend their time with you. We pray for them, Father, that they may be blessed, Father. But that you bless everyone at the sound of my voice. Bless their marriages, Father. Singles who want love, Father, I believe, Lord, that you are God. And the same thing you did for Isaac, Father, you can do in our modern day time, Father. You can send that angel before them and do what you do as God, Father. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your word. We want to pray, Lord, for our sick and shut-in, Father. We pray, Father, that you would bless them indeed, Father, that you heal their bodies, make them whole and well again, that you would touch, Father, in Jesus' name. Pray, continue to pray for Mr. Cummings, Father, and Brother Leo, Father, and those that may be sick and shut in, Father, those who can't be here like they would like Sister McCowan, Father, and others, Lord. We lift them up to you, Father, and place them, Father, in your care.
Hello again, this is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program. And before we sign off, we just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms, and his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. Love, believe by faith that you've been born to the household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. And if you're listening throughout the world, listening throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family, because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby.
Thank you for
and you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home, and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello again. This and is Pastor praise Mike Wheaton, the senior Lord. Pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really has spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com, and you can hear it, tap the link on the MySpace page, or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in a economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God, and I believe God can do it for us. And we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-art build, a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100, and you may be able to do more, whatever God is laying on your heart. We need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword.com.